Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Today we begin a new sermon series that we're calling I Believe. It'll be a series in which we're looking at the Apostles' Creed. Being able to examine what we believe when we recite the creed in the life of the church. Creeds or affirmations of faith or statements of faith, however you want to refer to them, has been a part of the church from the very beginning. The earliest creed or statement of faith can be found in the scriptures in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And Paul simply says there, Jesus is Lord. It's quite short, quite simple, but it is a statement of faith. It states what Paul was believing about Jesus and that he was Lord. The Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, are two of the oldest and most familiar creeds that the church has used continually throughout many, many centuries. The Apostles' Creed in its current form was actually written in the 4th century, but earlier versions of the creed go as far back as the 2nd century. The first word in the creed is a Latin word, credo, which simply means, I believe. And the word believe can have multiple layers to it and can be applied to everything from the silly to the profound. One might say, I believe, fill in the school name, Louisville, Kentucky, will win the NCAA basketball championship. Now, we can't say that about football. After yesterday, we're just hoping for a bowl game. But we believe. This sense of belief expresses one's hopes. It also may at least partially be rooted in some assessment of the team's ability. But often we can say that we believe to express our preference or our opinions about things that may not have any real ultimate importance. We might say, I believe in a particular car brand, that it is a better value than another car brand. Now, I wouldn't die for that conviction. Those beliefs can be easily changed with more information. But then there are deeper and more important beliefs that we carry. You might say things like, you believe in that small government is important. Or you might believe that the government needs to do more to ensure the welfare of people. You might believe that every citizen should have the right to carry a gun. Or you might believe that we need more restrictive gun laws. You might believe that one of the greatest threats to the future of our world is global warming. Or you might believe it's a hoax. Many deeply held beliefs, especially our beliefs about God, have the power to motivate us to action, to sacrifice, to service. What are some of your most deeply held beliefs or convictions? How did you come by those convictions? For some of us, our parents played a key role in shaping those fundamental beliefs. Or it may have been a particular writer that we have read in the past. It could have been a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a youth worker that helped shape what we believe. Many of our beliefs have also been shaped by our personal experiences, particularly those experiences that have touched us deeply. Sometimes painful experiences, sometimes joyful experiences. These deeply held beliefs that we have can shape us for good or for evil. Some fundamental convictions lead people to do great harm, while it leads others to live sacrificially in service to others. One set of convictions shapes the Ku Klux Klan, another shapes the Sisters of Charity. What we believe matters. What we believe matters into how we live our life in this world. Our most important beliefs, whether expressed in the Apostles' Creed or in other ways, affects our understanding of what it means to be human. It affects our understanding that helps to shape our values, our morality, our relationships. Ultimately, our deepest beliefs, they shape our goals, our ambitions, our hopes, our dreams for our life. In short, our beliefs shape how we live our lives. These kinds of convictions, though, are seldom verifiable by science. That's why we live by faith. Because we can't verify everything we believe, particularly when it comes to God and our faith. So that's why we live by faith. But we should be able to consider and to question them and should be able to make a compelling case for why we believe what we believe and why we hold the convictions that we hold. And since those convictions can't be completely verified scientifically, there's always just that very small measure of doubt. And because of that, regardless of what we believe about God or humanity or the world, we lack total certainty. That's why we live by faith. But that lack of certainty should lead us to live a life of humility. A life of humility in our convictions and in our interactions with others, particularly those who disagree with us. What we believe matters. For Christians, the beliefs expressed in the Apostles' Creed are foundation for us. In the end, belief is a decision of will. We choose to believe what we believe. The Apostles' Creed helps us. It helps us to articulate and affirm our most fundamental beliefs. And it begins with the words, "I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth." When we say we believe in God the Father Almighty, we are following in the way of Jesus. For Jesus referred to God as Father, makes God personable, more than just some creative force out there in the universe. Now, we understand that every person has not had a good father. So it doesn't represent our earthly father, but it represents the ultimate in the love and care and the power of a father when we refer to God as our Father. The covenant that God made with Abraham some 4,000 years ago is still valid for us today. We continue to be God's people, and God continues to be our God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Peter, James, and John, the God of Luther, Knox, and Wesley, that is our God today. For we are still in covenant with God, and what we believe matters. Many physicists accept and occasionally will even use the word God as a shorthand way of describing the mysterious invisible forces that govern the universe. But Christianity doesn't stop there. Christians also see God as more than an invisible force that created the universe. We see God as a being, as an entity with all the attributes of personhood, intelligence, emotion, reason, logic, will. We believe that God knows and feels and loves and thinks and acts and creates. The Creed, drawing from Jesus' primary way of addressing God, speaks again of God as Father, a very personal, intimate, relational God. We do believe that God is the force and power behind everything, but we also believe that God is a being that defines what it means to be a person. Christians believe in that God is the reflection of what it means to ultimately be a person. The Scripture speaks of it when it says that we were created in the image of God. We not only believe that God is personable, one who we can relate to and experience in a personal way, we also believe that God is the maker of heaven and earth. This affirmation actually addresses two different ideas, one of which is not readily apparent. The first idea, we can take at face value, that God created all the heavens and all the earth. But this phrase, this affirmation of faith, that God is the maker of heaven and earth, was also addressing a heresy during the day it was written. You see, there was a teaching being promoted at the time the creed was being formed that said that God created the heavens and all that was spiritual, and there was a lesser God, an evil God, that created the material world. So when the creed is affirming that God created the heavens and the earth, it's affirming that our God is both the God of the spiritual and the God of the material, that God created all. Belief in this sense that the creed intends is not merely mental assent. It doesn't mean that we just say we believe something, but the creed sets out our beliefs in a way that should guide our life, should guide our actions. What we believe matters. What we say we believe about God should shape how we live our lives in relation to God, in relation to our neighbors, and in relation to creation. If our belief in God is more than just mental assent, then we should live our lives in ways that connect us to God, participating in worship, praying, reading the Scripture, whatever spiritual practice that allows us to know God more deeply, experience God more intimately. We should place ourselves in environments that help us to know God's call in our lives, helps us to understand God's will for us. Connecting with God also puts us in a position to know God's grace, God's love, God's forgiveness, to experience God's strength in times of weakness, God's hope in times of despair, God's healing in times of brokenness, and God's peace in times of chaos. But our relationship with God is not just about us, for we are called to love one another. And Jesus says, even to love our enemies. We are to bear one another's burdens, to work for justice while demonstrating mercy. Why? Because all human beings matter to God. All human beings matter to God. Those who vote differently than us, those who think differently than us, those who speak different languages than we do, those who worship different gods than we do. All human beings matter to God. And so they should matter to us as well. Belief in God also has a huge implication for our care for creation. If God created all things, and then the earth belongs to God, and then we are stewards of the earth. The reading from the Psalms today reminds us that we are to care for God's creation. Many think of Christian discipleship and spirituality as reading the Bible and praying. And that certainly is true and it's certainly important. But if the earth really belongs to God, then caring for the earth is also an act of discipleship. It is our responsibility as human beings to care for God's creation. It means when we leave a room, we turn off the lights or we turn the thermostat up or down, depending. It means we recycle. We think about fuel economy when we buy our next car. And then on the other side, damaging the earth or wasting its resources isn't an affront to the Creator. Belief in God should lead us to care for what God has created. whether it's another human being or whether it's God's creation of this earth. What we believe matters. What we believe about God will determine how we live our life and how we live that life in relation to God and in relation to our neighbors and in relation to creation. What we believe about God will determine our values and our goals. What we believe about God matters. And it matters deeply for those of us who claim to be Christian. We don't usually say the Apostles' Creed in this service, but we will for the next 3 weeks. I want to invite you to stand and join with me as we respond to God's Word by affirming our faith with this historical creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.